Hey, you're listening to The Morning Show with Aerith, and in the studio I've got Sarah Lancaster and Sean Dillon from Extreme Zero Waste. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Aaron.
How are you guys doing?
Beautiful.
Yeah, very
beautiful.
Well, thank
it's
you.
It's a nice day, isn't it?
Lots of coffee in the system.
Yeah, had a couple.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. So, Sarah, you're well familiar with the studio, but Sean, first time in the studio. Special welcome to you. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks. Great to be here.
And you guys have got an event coming up this week, isn't it, that you want
yes,
to talk about?
We do.
So what's that event?
We're calling it the Haerenga Whakaeti Para Ki Whangaroa. So it's a bit of a waste minimisation hui with our local community, Marae, and a few other entities like the community house and things like that.
Yeah.
Just about putting together a plan. Putting together a plan for reducing our waste in Raglan and how we can support the community.
Okay. Is Parakore involved?
Yes. So we're facilitating this, and Parakore is kind of the lead that we're just following behind. Yeah.
Okay.
So X-Man, Lato X-Man will be there.
Oh, will he?
Yeah.
X-Man will be back.
The return.
Yeah, the return of X-Man. Somebody should make a social media post, the return of X-Man. Is it going to happen, Sarah?
Well, he's been working for Parakore so he hasn't been, missing in action from the waste space. But, Parakore and Extreme will be hosting the day together and steering lots of conversations, hopefully. And we have stretched the invitation wide. It's it is Whangaroa region, but also up in Waenaro,
We got whānau from Whangaroa, we got whānau from Aramiro, Te Papatapu,
all around, north and south.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what are the things that have prompted that? What do you feel like is missing in the Road to Zero Waste at the moment that you want to address?
Well, I think that, and working with Sonia, you may have met Sonia as well.
Yeah, we had Sonia in to talk about the trip to Wairoa with all the donations.
She's been working closely with businesses before Sean, and she's spending time over in Wairoa, but she's also part of connecting, a general relationships manager and connecting lots of community people. And she wanted to work specifically with Marae whānau and hapu in connecting all of the different regions in the wider Waenaro area to hear how we can better support, how Extreme and Parakore can better support those communities. I guess from my perspective, I see that Marae are a place where a lot of events happen, and so thinking about event waste, and also there's a lot of space there that could have potential for gardens and composting, and that is a lot of the work that Parakore do of onboarding Marae, but it isn't specific just to Marae grounds, but the wider community, and it's kind of... from my perspective, it's kind of like a session to ask questions of how can we help and how can we work together better and learn from each other and share knowledge rather than us coming in and saying, this is what we think it should be. So it is more of a brainstorming and a curiosity approach. Would that be right, Sean?
Yeah, I guess from my perspective as someone who did grow up, on the marae for a lot of my childhood, it's good to start at the foundation. And if we have that knowledge in our marae about how to reduce, recycle, reuse, all those beautiful things that we love here in Whangaroa. If we have that at the marae, that spreads out to the rest of the community,
And is it sort of the case, it's easier to deal with the zero waste message in towns, and once you get out of towns, there's kind of no central point base for that, and Marae maybe can be that central base?
Yeah, for sure. That could be our meeting point. And it always traditionally has been our meeting point. So if we can just continue to use that.
Yeah, that's true.
So without preempting what people are going to come and tell you, what sort of things do you think people might be suggesting? I know that I'm asking that to try and get an idea of how the discussion's going to go, really.
You can come join too, Aaron, if you wish. I would hope that there's kind of, in a sense, a longer-term network formed between various marae across the region.
Yeah.
That's what Sonia had been sharing with me, at least, to if something works in one area, let's share it and support and help in other areas.
Yeah.
Perhaps, I mean, I always bring things back to the waste hierarchy, as Sean was mentioning, reducing, reusing, repairing. Maybe repair cafes could be a thing, where whānau bring in their gear and we do pop up sewing and fixing up clothes and things between the seasons. But also making sure that everyone has access to reusables, so we don't have to go out and buy single-use stuff for single-use packaging or plates, and although cutlery is banned now, but plastic cutlery is banned, not paper or wooden.
So
switching into having reusable, so that when people gather together for events, we can use real crockery and dishes and wash up rather than throwaways. Also, it might be around familiarising what systems are available for them around recycling and where to take recycling, how to sort it, how to clean it first, make sure things are cleaned first, wash and squash.
Yeah.
So that the crew up on site, if they are bringing it to extreme, have things are able to be recycled if they're clean.
Yeah. So I guess you can't really speak on behalf of Parakore, but is there a feeling that more work needs to be done in this area, or more can be done?
Yeah, I think Parakore have definitely done a lot of really good work in the past, and we just kind of want to build on that. And I think after COVID, we definitely had to take a step back, and everyone kind of fell to the wayside a little bit.
Yeah.
So it's just about building back those relationships that have previously been there and strengthening them, to see what we can do for the future and come up with maybe some plans on how we can do things better.
Okay, all right. So that's the message of people. Come along and join in and have a say.
Give us your ideas. Love to hear what other people think, because there's always new perspectives are going to open up new pathways for us.
So it's 1 till 3 on Thursday. So it's a late lunch break. Come take your late lunch break with us.
Yes.
And at Poihakina Marae.
Okay.
We will be feeding you.
There will be Kai.
Feed the Kids is going to provide our catering.
Oh, my God. Amazing.
Shout out our local community.
You got your mum on the job.
Thanks, that's Margaret.
Cool. Hey, so, Sean, can I ask a bit about you? Because you've been, do you remember a time, how old are you now?
24.
Yep. So do you remember a time in Whangaroa when there wasn't recycling and things like that?
No. Well, so I moved here in 2009, actually, from Australia. And mum wanted to come home. But so pretty much from day one, it was, wow, we didn't recycle in Australia. Everything went to the tip. So that new learning.
Yeah, so you did notice a difference.
Did you have X-Men at school?
I don't actually remember X-Men, but I remember we did the Enviro School stuff by Angela Prane.
Mm-hmm.
Put us through a lot of really, really cool education and things like that.
Cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a massive part of Raglan Area School.
Yeah, and you've got what's your role with Extreme now?
So at the moment, I am the business relationship manager, and I also do a bit of driving the trucks on the runs. And if I'm lucky, I get to run.
To run?
I love to run. It was where I started at Extreme. I came in as a runner, and then eventually got my licenses, forklift and class 2 and things like that.
Okay. But, so did you do that like straight out of school?
No, I went to uni for a year.
Oh, yeah.
And then I stopped going to uni. But after that, I had a few friends up at Extreme and thought, I really like the environment and I like being outside. And
at that age, did you think running was all day was going to be like a bit of a stretch? I guess it's not all day, but...
Yeah, it was definitely a bit nerve-wracking when I first started. But you get really fit really quickly on that run.
Yeah.
A couple of weeks in and...
It's kind of like interval training, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like it's not a marathon.
Yeah, you jump on the truck when you
have.
When you're
it's
a bit
like
tired.
You go hard. I learned to not. They laughed at me because I was just like trying to run, and they're like, "You learn pretty quickly not to run the hills, so you can last."
Yeah.
You jump on the back of the truck when you're going uphill.
I've been out on the truck once, but I had a video camera, so I was just standing in the cardboard area, jumping up and down on it to help out as best I could, but mostly filming. But yeah, I mean, you say it's not running all the time, but it's still full on. Like you like the fitness that came with that.
Yeah, I loved running. It was the best part of the job for me, for sure.
Oh wow, that's really cool to hear. But now you're new. Are you enjoying this new job? More kind of admin job.
A lot more admin-y. Spend a bit more time in the office these days, which is all right, to be honest. Lots of emails to catch up on and things like that.
So your role is, are you talking to all the customers, like the business customers?
Yeah, so I pretty much go around to what businesses need a little bit of help, or any issues that they have,
yeah,
or don't have, or anything that they could improve on.
That's with our collection, our business collections.
Yeah, mostly centered around the business collections.
Yeah, so just trying to make it easy to work with them. So if people have a question, you're the man to talk to.
Yep, email me, ring me up.
All right.
I don't know if I should give it out on here.
Yeah.
I might open it up a little bit
It's on the website, streamzerowaste.org.nz. That's the website, isn't it? So,
yeah. And we will be rolling out some new bins, actually.
Yeah.
A new suite of bins, just to tidy up our collections and make it really consistent across the board with the waste minimization colours. So there'll be we're trying to switch over our lids so that the colours are the correct colours for glass, for LEs, for mixed recycling or plastics. I might be saying this wrong. Maybe they don't get sorted separately like that.
Yeah, we've got plastics, glass, metal and paper.
Oh, so metal, the LE and tins go together. And paper, and then cardboard in a fadge.
And do you guys know the colours? Test?
Yep.
Let's test you.
Ellie's and metal is grey. Glass is blue. Plastics is orange. Landfill is red. Dun, dun, red, 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 bad colour. Red. We don't want stuff going in landfill. And then the paper is grey also. Is that correct?
Yellow?
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, okay. We're doing a good job. I made a really beautiful visual.
There'll be lots of
pamphlet.
Very clear.
Can't remember what you did. That's all right.
No, that's my responsibility.
Yeah. So I guess the pamphlet is.
It'll be. I'm working on it, so Sean can share it around with the community.
I'll get that out to the community when we're all finished up on it.
And, so is that for the business collection you're talking about?
Yeah.
So people get a set of bins and it's all ready to go.
And to standardise everything.
Yeah. Also, we're going to be adding in food waste collection for those who need it. Now, a lot of the hospitality businesses are probably linked up with big farmers locally, which is really awesome. But if they miss a collection or don't get it collected, or if there's overflow or things, then they can use a food waste service that we'll be adding to our suite of bins for business collection.
Yeah, I'm very excited about that one too.
Yeah.
Okay.
Actually, and by 2027, it's a national requirement for all businesses to be diverting their food waste as part of the rollout of food waste in communities around Aotearoa, the food waste service as part of for residents, but then there's also a requirement that businesses be diverting their food waste too, not just hospitality businesses but any businesses.
So will it become a law that everyone is not allowed to put food waste in the landfill?
Correct. It's just so harmful as creating climate change gases.
Because that's still, even though you guys probably are communities doing as good as anywhere, there's still a lot of people putting their food in the blue bags, aren't they?
Yeah, for sure. I still have seen it in some waste audits that I've done. And it is, part of it is habit. Part of it might be unclear signage or accessibility to bins, or people just not understanding or caring. To me, it's just a wasted resource, because this is not only does it make landfill 10 times worse, speeding up leachate and methane emissions out the top and out the bottom, it actually is like a beautiful resource that we can turn into soil. So why waste it by putting it into a toxic space of landfill?
And Sean, since we've got you and you had the experience of being on the run, what's your advice to people, the tips to help the guys out when they're picking up?
Oh, we always go back to a classic wash and squash.
Right.
We love a wash and squash because it's no fun when you put your hands in the bin and it's straight into a pot of yogurt that's been sitting there for 4 days.
And milk and dairy is the stinkiest, eh?
Yes, milk is always so much fun. as well as wash and squash, we love it when you guys separate the recycles. If you have two bins at home, glass in one, try to keep the glass unbroken. We always love that. We do have glass gloves for all the boys, but sometimes things can go wrong if there's broken glass around, and we try to avoid that.
Well, it only takes one mistake to get a cut,
and I've been there. I've sliced my hand on a pretty gnarly way, but
was that very much fun?
No, that was no fun at all. but separating the plastics and the tins from the glass, keep your cardboard underneath the bin, in a nice little neat pile.
What about bottles off the bottle tops off the top of the bottles?
We love when people take the lids off the bottles, especially the plastics. Yeah.
Yeah, I see, because I did this filming, I filmed on the truck, and then I filmed the guys processing afterwards. This is like 10 years ago, but bottle tops are still bottle tops.
Yeah.
And they're so fast. People, if you haven't seen them working, they're really fast. But as soon as they pick up a bottle with a bottle top, it completely slows things down. Like, it makes it 10 times slower.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
You have to take it off and get it out of there. And
I guess they go in the bin, the bottle tops, don't they?
Because currently they do, but we're working at finding a recycling solution for them. Okay. The reason that we ask for people to take their lids off isn't just for convenience for our processing line, but it's they are a different plastic to the body, so that they have, every plastic has different chemicals to make it do different jobs. So handle the freezer, be clear so you can see a drink. The lids have like a grip strength, so that's why they can stay on and seal. Each. So they are different to the bottle or container. So not the same plastic to go in with the other number ones or the fives. And also, if you do leave them on, and when they turn into cubes and you're forklifting them around, they drop off really easily from the baler. They pop off and can like go through someone's leg if they happen to go in the baler. So they are a health and safety hazard.
I wasn't expecting
and
that.
And the litter.
Yeah.
Or as Caleb also said when we were filming our course, he's like, they're just annoying.
Well, they're little. They're not going to be held. Like, you'd have to have so much wrap around the bale to hold things like
and
that.
We don't really want to be putting more plastic on the plastic. So.
Yeah.
We just actually, what do you use to bale up the bales? Is it like a wire?
Yeah, we've got
a wire cord.
A wire cord for the cardboard and the alleys, and then we've got these metal straps for the all the plastics.
I am
a bit stronger
because there's a lot of pressure. They're under a lot of pressure.
It's an incredible amount of pressure that those bales are under. And if you've ever seen one explode. Well, not explode. Explode's the wrong word. If you've ever seen one pop, as we like to say, they pop with some force.
And then you've got a mess to clean up.
Oh, you've got a very big mess to clean up. Yeah.
And put it back through the baler.
About a mini skip worth of plastics probably on the ground, which is always fun.
And what I've got you, how's the new facility going, the new building up there that we've all seen?
The new building. So I left for a year and came back to this beautiful, pristine new building. And it is the most convenient thing I've had in my life for a very long time.
You would actually notice because you had the old processing. And a lot of the new crew, they've only known this building.
Even known Easy Lives and Beauty. back in my day, I tell you, we had to walk 10 km through the snow just to throw plastics out of an old trough.
Back when it used to snow on the mountain.
Yeah, constantly going through the hard yards back then. But we've got a new baler in that processing room. We've got two conveyor belts, one to process glass and one for plastics and tin. New bin lifters.
The bin lifters.
So we don't have to break our backs.
So a conveyor belt makes. So you're sorting and the stuff comes past you and you pick up the clear bottle and throw it in there, the brown bottle, throw it in there. Does a conveyor belt make a significant difference to that?
Yeah. So we used to kind of have to just drag everything by hand along a trough and then hand pick out all the rubbish and things like that. But now we can lift all the plastic straight onto the conveyor belt and pretty much one person doing like two plastics each, and they just sort it out, and then the rubbish kind of just keeps flowing off, and there's a magnet for all the tins.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's just really convenient at the moment.
And just so listeners know, that's not your curbside collection that they're sorting, because that gets sorted on the truck and by you folks doing an awesome job sorting at your crate. But it's rural collections, isn't it, and that we have to sort through again, and business collections get put down the conveyor. Is that right?
Yeah, so it's all business collections and from our containers out at Tuku.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, and tomato, sorry. Shout out tomato container. It's looking beautiful these days.
Is it?
Yeah, it's looking so much better.
Oh, good job.
It was relocated a few months ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was at Tomato School, but we've put it just around the corner onto Tutuwai Road. It's got some lovely concrete there, new cardboard, or newish cardboard bin, and it's a little bit tidier than it was back at the school.
Mm.
Yeah,
sounds like you're getting out everywhere, all the sites.
Yeah, I do a little bit. I end up on that truck a couple times a week.
So let's just remind people what you came in to talk about, because there's a hui coming up this week. Let's go over that again for anyone who's joined us halfway through.
Yep, so we're our waste minimisation hui for Aotearoa, which we've named Haerenga Whakaiti Paraki Whaingaroa. It's for our local marae and or community groups, or just anyone in the community that wants to come along and maybe have a discussion about how we can reduce our impact on our tai au, on our environment. So that will be Thursday the 21st, this week Thursday. Starts at 1 and we'll run to about 3 at Poihakana Marae.
Okay, and there's some kai.
I
find it's very, it's always important to mention that.
Which draw card, yeah.
Yeah, 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 for sure. All right, guys, thanks heaps for coming in. Sean, nice to have you in the studio for the first time.
Thank you.
Thank you, Aaron.